Let's go over to James chapter 2. Last week, I started sharing with you when God's will gets hard. Because we talked about this year being a time of opportunity. We talked a year of opening doors and closing. Sometimes a door gets closed. And I think it takes more faith to stand when the door gets closed than when the door is opened. Amen? Because with any open door, there's an opportunity involved. Amen? I mean, you can see the opportunity. Whether you receive it or not, there is an opportunity there. But sometimes when a door seems to close on you, and then all of a sudden you're standing there, that's when you got to really trust the Lord. Amen? You're going to have to trust God that He's going to open something new up to you so you and meet your need. And so you got to keep your focus on the Lord. Amen? You know, I like to remind everybody that we serve a good God. And I like to remind you that it's God's will to bless your life and for the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow to be upon you. But I think we need to be also reminded that we have an adversary who wants to rob us of those things. And so we got to know how to stand, and we got to know how to spiritually fight for them, and we got to know how to do those things. So I don't think it's enough just to tell you that there's good things. I got to say, how are we going to, because we're not going to live in this life without, at times, adversity. Amen? I don't think I'm going to ever be more spiritual than Jesus. I know some of you may have arrived there, but I figure as long as I'm on this planet, I'm going to have to keep growing and keep developing and all those things. And Jesus was betrayed. The Bible says Jesus got hungry. The Bible says in what is it, the fifth chapter of John, that he was tired. Jesus got tired and sat down on the well, waiting for his disciples to come back from town. And while he was there, he ministered to the woman at the well, right? So Jesus experienced a lot of the same things you did. He was betrayed by friends, and he was judged wrongly, and he was accused falsely, and there was lots of things. But Jesus never lost his focus so that he could fulfill God's will and enter into God's purpose for his life. And you know, the open door for Jesus was a cross. Right? Right? And the Bible said that he endured the cross, despising the shame for the hope that was set before him. And what he was saying is, he's saying, I'm going to go through this, but I'm not going through it for the pain. I'm not going through it for the sacrifice. I'm not going through it. I'm going through it for the salvation of man. Amen? So he looked beyond the moment that he was in, endured the situation to carry out God's purpose and fulfillment in his life. And I want you to know that as we serve the Lord and as we step out in faith to receive from God, there's going to be those times when the will of God, and it is the will of God, are going to get tough. And you got to be tougher than the tough time, okay? And so I want to talk to you about that when God's will gets hard. What do we do then? Well, we learned, first of all, just a brief review here. One is, the Bible tells us in Revelations 3, 7, and 8 that God, he was talking to a church, and he says, I'm going to open doors for you. I'm going to close doors for you. I'm going to bring it. And so when we talk about open doors, we're talking about opportunities. So this year, I'm believing, and I believe he does every year, but this was the emphasis that I felt like he wanted me to focus in on this year, was that this year are going to be opportunities, and we got to be willing to, by faith, take advantage of those opportunities, because so many times when an opportunity comes, it makes us move out of a place of comfort. Right? We're comfortable here, okay? We've got it figured out, right? We may not have a lot, but we've made the ends meet. You know what I'm saying? I heard a guy say this one time. He says, every time I think the ends are going to meet, somebody moves the ends. You know what I mean? It's like something comes up and we have to, you know. And so my thing is we can get complacent and we can get, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. When Sandy and I first got married, we had a whole lot of nothing. You know, she married me and my debts. I had a car wreck and I had to pay off a car that I'd wrecked. We didn't even have. I was paying hospital bills. It was just a mess. And I didn't tell her about it until after we got married. But the bottom line was, you know, when you start with nothing, you know, they have people sign those, what, prenuptials? Is that how you say it? Well, we had no need to sign one. Neither one of us had anything. okay? And so we get married with a lot of nothing. And so we're going along there, but it was a great day when not enough became enough. When you live your life in a place of not enough, when you get enough, that's a good place to get to. Amen? And if we're not careful, then we settle for enough instead of realizing that God wants you to have more than enough, because that's only when you can be a blessing to others. Amen? And as parents, that makes it easier to be a blessing to your children, or as a spouse, a blessing to your spouse, or whatever. You know, I've seen years where Sandy spent the money to put clothes on the kids when she needed more the clothes worse than the kids needed it. And so as we grew in our understanding of God, and we grew in the reality that God's blessing was upon our life, and we begin to experience, then we begin to enjoy life more. But you can come to a place where we can just say, it's good enough, and good enough is the enemy of better. Amen? Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I believe you have a choice to live any way you want. I mean, I'm not here to tell you how to live. I'm not here to tell you what you should drive or what kind of house you should live in, or what your health is supposed to be like. I'm just going to get up here and preach to you the possibility that we can have in God's Word. And that God's Word is true. And those who have the courage to take it and stand in it can enjoy the benefits of it. Amen? But you don't have to, okay? And I'm not trying to make anybody do anything. Amen? I just want to encourage you that wherever you are this morning, there's better. There's a better place. And so I just am one of these. I'm always trying to improve. I know that sounds sad. And some people will call me proud or call me arrogant or whatever. But I live my life in, how can I be better? How can I do better? How can I grow spiritually? How can I grow mentally and emotionally? How can I grow in my relationship with my wife? How can I grow with my relationship? I mean, I have grandkids, and I don't relate to them real well. You know, sometimes they wear things and I'm thinking, it's probably not, you know. But then I go, it's probably none of your business. It don't keep me from praying for them and griping at their parents. But the bottom line is, I just want to, as long as I'm on this planet, to keep growing and moving forward. Because if we're not careful, we reach a place in our life that we just start waiting to die. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to reach a place and just say, well, this is it. I'm just going to wait until I die. I don't want to do that. I want to grow. I want to be what God wants. I can do better. And no matter, it's not a condemnation thing with me. It's not a beat myself down thing. It's like, you know what? God has set out there before me promises in the Word of God, and my goal is to inherit the promises. That's my goal, amen? And so I just want you to know that when I preach, I'm not trying to bully or be mean or anything like that. I'm just saying, it's out here. I'll share a gym story and get it out of the way. But I went to the gym for years, and now I just work out at home now. It's just easier to walk out of my house into the shop, and I can go do it whenever I decide. But I've been at the gym, and I see somebody hires a trainer to train them or help them get in better shape. And while you're watching it, you'd think the person exercising is exercising for the trainer. They're just kind of going through the motions, and they're put out, and they kind of draw their talk. And it's like, wait a minute, stop. This ain't about the trainer. This is about you. And you're only going to get out of it what you put in it. Hanging out with a trainer will not get you in shape. Walking by weights will not get you in shape. Hanging out at the gym in your cute little outfit will not get you in shape. Somebody has to take and put the effort in to make it happen, right? And you know what? I know that for some, I wish you would just wouldn't even bring that up. Here's the bottom line. Church is the same way. You're only going to get out of it what you put in it. You're only going to get out of the things of God what you're willing to put in. And don't misunderstand me. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, hey, I'm fine, I'm happy, I'm good, this is good enough. You know, and that's okay. When I first, I won't say gym, but I was going to this gym, and it was in Palo Cedro at the time, and there was this little gal, she was a teacher from Black Butte School, and she came 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And she'd come down there, and she'd put 30 minutes on the treadmill, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And she never changed how she looked, whatever. Never changed. But I guarantee you, that was better for her than not doing something. Right? And so, I mean, her goal might have just been, make sure my lungs are still working right. Make sure my heart still knows how to beat. And, you know, this is what I want. You know? So she's getting out of it what she wants. And that's fine. That's fine. And when I'd see her, I'd encourage her, and I'd, because when you walk in and you're really, oh, never mind. Go to James chapter 2. I'm going to stop. Tom. Thanks. James chapter 2 and verse 14. We're going to start there. Amen. We want to get our vision from God, don't we, for our life. So we go to the Bible and we find out God's will. We learn in Proverbs 29:18 that without a vision, the people perish or cast off restraint. So you have to have a vision for your life. If you don't have a vision for your life, usually you have no disciplines, right? If you're not going anywhere, you know, it's like Alice in Wonderland when she shows up there and all them roads are going all these different ways, and she says, which one shall I take? And she said to him, he asked her, he says, well, where are you going? And she goes, I don't know. And he says, then it don't matter. If you ain't going anywhere, I guess it don't matter. Go where you want, right? You got to have purpose. You got to have destiny. You got to have a vision for your life. And so we want to get that from God. It says, what does it profit, my brother, in verse 14? If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for their body, what does it profit? Thus also faith, by itself, if it does not have what? Works. Is dead. Now, we learned last week that works here means a corresponding action. In other words, if you are believing for something from God, or if you got a promise from God, there's a corresponding action that goes along with that promise that's saying, I believe the promise, therefore this is my action. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? So every time God gives me a promise, there's a corresponding action that goes with that. It says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have a works, it is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my corresponding action. I'm going to use that word. By my faith. In other words, my corresponding action. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? It says, was not Abraham our father? Now, you got to understand that some people, when they hear works, they think of the law. But we know Abraham was, 400 years before the law. So he's not talking about the law here. You know, the works of the law would be go to church on Saturday, go to the temple on Saturday, bring a sacrificial lamb, not travel more than a quarter of a mile on a Sabbath day, you know, not eat certain foods, not wear certain clothes. You couldn't wear clothes that were both wool and cotton. There was certain things you couldn't do. And these are the works of the law. And some people do these things and then say, I'm holy or spiritual because I do these things. And the truth of it is, if you read Galatians, the Bible says there is no work of the law that can make you holy or make you righteous. It can't be done. Now, He gave them the works of the law. The Bible said the law came so you would know you were a sinner. That was the purpose of the law, to be a finger pointing at you, you're a sinner. And Jesus came and he points at you and says, you're righteous. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. Amen? He wants to point to you and say, you're in right standing with me. That's what righteous means, right standing with God. You may be here this morning and don't know it or realize it, but you have right standing with God. Other, you have a right to come and stand in the presence of God because of what Jesus did. Now, you may never take advantage of it, but you can. Amen? So, and that came through the work of Jesus and him alone. So he's not talking about works of the law. He's talking about a corresponding action for the person that believes God, God's word. And it says this, verse 19, I think. It says, you believe that there, I read that, verse 20. But you who want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified? And the word justified means declared innocent. Was not our father Abraham justified by works when he offered Isaac his son? Now, I don't know about you, but I have three sons and none of them are I'm not willing to sacrifice any of them. Even on their worst day. You know, I used to tease and say, you know, there are some animals that eat their children. And, you know, at certain places in their life, the thought crosses your mind. Little teenagers, you're like, I think I'll eat this one. You know, it's like, stop. But we don't, okay? But the thing is, we got to understand that works, he's talking about, he's saying God told Abraham, out of your son Isaac, all the nations of the world will be blessed. So Abraham believed in his heart, no matter what God asked me for when it comes to Isaac, ultimately Isaac will live, Isaac will have children, and Isaac will be a blessing to his children, will be a blessing to the world. So Abraham put his faith in God that God would keep his word no matter what. And the Bible tells us that because of that, he was willing to act out what he believed. Are you with me? Are you kind of tracking with me here? It says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together? Amen. Faith was working together with his works. And by works, faith was made what? The scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see, then, that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is what? Dead. So what he's saying is, he's saying, you can say you have faith, but if it doesn't affect your corresponding action, your faith will never help you. You understand what I'm saying? I say, okay, I believe in tithing. I believe in being blessed by God. I believe in financially being blessed. I believe God wants to financially bless me. I believe that. And I have lots of scriptures, and I've been showing them on Wednesday night. God's attitude on is this. When he made man in Genesis 1, he said that he gave them, he blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, right? So God's will from Genesis 1 is, first of all, I bless you, which means I empower you to succeed, is what the word bless means. And then he says, and I want you fruitful. So no matter what you think about anything else, God wants my life to be fruitful. Now, I don't know what that looks like to you, but I know what it looks like to me, for my life. He wants my life to be fruitful. And I don't want bad fruit. I look around the world and I see a lot of bad fruit. I don't want bad fruit in my life. I want good fruit in my life. Amen? So God wants me fruitful. So Sandy and I, since we've been married, she was 19, I was 20, and she tithed before we got married, and I tithed before I married her. So we came together as a family. We made a commitment. We're going to honor God. We're going to bring our tithe to God's house because we believe that if we honor God, God will honor us, and we will receive into our life the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow. So our corresponding action with it's God's will to make my life fruitful and to bless me is to honor him with my tithe. That's my work. That's my corresponding action. But if I say, I believe God wants to bless me, but I better hold on to everything I have because you never know, I'll probably not have enough. Then I'm denying that God is my source. I'm saying I'm my source. Now, don't misunderstand me. You can be your source if you want, and I'm not telling you to do anything, but I know in my own life, I came up short as my source. I needed God, okay? But I need him in every area of my life. You know, there's certain things I do naturally. I mean, I try to eat right, and I try to get enough exercise and all that, but that's not my health. God is my health. Jesus is my health. I can give you names of people that gave their life to the industry of fitness and died young. So just because you eat the right food, you think it. No, you better put your faith in Jesus Christ. He bore my sicknesses and he carried my diseases, and by his stripes I'm healed. Amen? Jesus sent his word and healed me. So why do I do the other? That's my seed that I'm sowing in the direction that I'm believing God for. I had a friend of mine. She worked in the church for 15 years up in Shingletown and then down here for a while. And she came to church and she was a smoker. And she smoked all her life, pretty much. And now she's 58 and she's been smoking all of her life. And the doctor told her that, you know, that she had those first stages of emphysema. And so she had accepted Christ down in a Calvary Chapel church down in the Bay Area, down in Southern California. And Greg Laurie's church, I believe it was. But she didn't really, you know, she went to church on occasion and, you know, Christmas and Easter and, you know, that type of thing. But she never, you know, really got involved. So she started coming to the church up in Shingletown, and she started coming faithful, and she got this diagnosis. And God healed her of the emphysema. But she quit smoking. When God gives you a miracle, you need to take responsibility for the miracle. God gets you out of debt, you probably shouldn't go back in. If God heals your body, you probably shouldn't keep doing the things that got you in the situation. So her corresponding action was to quit the smoking and start trying to live better in physically because of God. Because God wants me to have actions that correspond with what I'm believing him for. Are you guys with me? I mean, even if you don't agree with me, you understand me. So here's my thing. If I'm going to believe the word, then I want my actions to coincide with the word. And you go, what's this got to do with receiving from God when things get hard? Because things are going to get hard, and you're going to have to stay in faith. And to stay in faith means you got to keep doing the right thing in difficult moments. The Bible says through faith and patience, we inherit. And the word patience there is consistent endurance. In other words, to just keep doing the right thing. To just keep doing the right thing. I don't want you to misunderstand me. There's been times when Sandy and I wrote out our check for our tithe, and there was no way there was going to be enough for the end of the month, but we honored God, and somehow God honored us and brought us. And I'm not going to lie to you. We didn't throw our tithe in the offering plate, and then 2 weeks later, we was rolling in money. That ain't how it worked for us. It was one of these faithfulness, consistency, and God begin to increase us and begin to increase us and begin to increase our lives, and we begin to drive a little better car and live in a little better place and wear a little better clothes and do it as we just honored God and we did what was right, and then we had some setbacks. Sometimes we had a setback, but we just kept doing what God told us to do, and we were through faith and patience. We inherit the promise. We come out on the other side, and we move from a place of not enough to a place of enough to a place of more than enough. But we had to keep doing what was right in the difficult moments. Amen? And that's where faith comes in. I'm trusting God in the difficult moments. I've had people say, Pastor, I'm with you, man. I'm loyal, until the first thing that comes up that gets them offended and they're gone. They weren't loyal. Loyalty stays when it stinks. Now, I'm not talking about staying for sin. We're not talking about that. But you know what? There's going to be stuff come up. And sometimes I say stupid things, and I'm sorry. But on occasion, I'll say something, and then after it's over, I'm thinking, I shouldn't have said that. But anybody that talks for a living is going to say something that they wish they hadn't have said. It's just how it works. And so I ask you to have a little compassion for me and a little grace, and I'll work on not trying to say those things. But sometimes I say things that you're thinking, I wouldn't say that. Yeah, that's why he called me instead of you. It needed to be said. Sometimes it just needs to be said. No, yes. Okay. So in James here, he's telling us that if we're truly in faith, we're going to have times, well, we have to have corresponding actions that tells everybody around us we're in faith. You understand what I'm saying? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's start with verse 11. We'll read 11 and 12 there. So I'd like to say that, you know, you believe God and tomorrow everything's changed. Sometimes you got to believe for a while. Sometimes you have to stand for a while, right? I know I've shared this, but please show me some grace here. When I was 33, I got hurt real bad and was airbagged to the hospital. And Tom was there. And I ended up in the hospital for 3 weeks. And while I was there, I'd lost the power to go to the bathroom. And so I was getting a straight cat every 4 hours. They would come in and give me a stray cat every 4 hours because they kept hoping that there's a little, I don't know what you call it, but a little thing in your, it gives you, a signal goes out and it opens up so you can urinate. They call it voiding. And I didn't have that sensation no more. So I would just get really super hard. I never felt like I could urinate, but I would just get real super hard and hurt. And so they would come in and give me a straight cath to relieve the discomfort, okay? So, and they told me about 70 hours or so, if it's going to come back, it'll come back, okay? And so we're going along there, and when people would come in, you know, well-meaning people would come in, and they meant to be comforting, but they weren't. Because they would say things like, well, maybe it's the Lord's will that you don't walk. Maybe it's the Lord's will. And they'd leave and I'd say, Father, I curse that in the name of Jesus. If wheelchairs made us so we could reach more people for Jesus, we'd all be born with little wheelchairs. I don't believe that for me. Now, you can believe what you want, but for me, I don't believe that. I believe though a righteous man falls seven times, God will lift him up. That's what I believe. And so I'd just say, Father, I curse those words in the name of Jesus. I'm healed because your word says I'm healed. I'm not basing this on how I feel. I'm not basing this on anything else. Your word says I'm healed, so therefore I'm healed. And so I was doing my, 17 days later, I went to the bathroom. Thank you, Jesus. To this day, I'll go in the bathroom and want to have a shouting season. Because I don't want to ever take for granted what God has done for me. And I went home, laying down. They let me go home because they were planning to send me to a place to learn how to give myself a straight cath, and they wanted Sandy to learn how to do it, and Sandy was kind of more of, that ain't happening. He's healed in Jesus' name. So once I started urinating or voiding, I went home, and I was a mess. And they told me, you're going to live on painkillers, and you're just blah, 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 blah. And I just kept saying, nope, by his stripes. And so the second I could, I was out there walking on a walker. Because well people walk. Now, I wanted to stay in bed. Don't misunderstand me. When it hurts to get up, the body wants to stay in bed. And so I made myself get up and go on my little walker. And as soon as I could, I went to a cane. And then I started, and you know what's funny? Is as soon as I got home and could set up, we were in the Alpine Center upstairs, okay? I couldn't walk up the stairs. I was so messed up, I couldn't walk up the stairs. So Dick Staley and Greg Hoffman carried me up the stairs and set me in a chair, and I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. I preached healing. I preached, why? Because well preachers preach. Well, you don't look healed to me. That's why I don't ask you. I asked Jesus. And every time I asked God if I was healed, he said yes. And so here I am. Now I'm up and I'm in a brace. I'm wearing a brace now because they did surgery on my back and put some iron, stainless steel bars in my back, and I broke my tailbone off and busted my hip off, but I'm in a brace and I'm up preaching like a guy that's about 80. I made Hagen look like he's in a race, you know. I'm preaching I'm healed, and I'm preaching God is faithful. And of course, there's always those good spiritual people in the church that's going to let you know you're probably not going to ever get any better. You know, God knows, you know. Yeah, I know he knows. Can he put it in this book so I can know what God knows, right? So, Brother Spivey, some of you know him. He invited me to come down. He's having a conference down there. He wanted me to come down and preach at this conference. So, and maybe it was pride. I don't know. But I went down there to preach, and it was the first message I preached without a brace on. And while I was there, a lady, about two or three people got healed in that service. And I don't mean healed next week. I meant in the service, they got healed. Instantly healed. From that day forward, I never put the brace back on. And I want you to be honest, I'll be honest with you. There was times when I wanted to. There was times when I was in service and we were standing and worshiping God. I wanted to sit down so bad. Oh, I could taste it. But I would hear in my mind, I'd hear something I heard. Well, people stand. Well, people walk. Well, people go. And I'd say, I'm well in Jesus' name. And I had to fight the good fight of faith. I had to lay hold. And you know what? And I don't mean this disrespectful, but not everybody's willing to do that. And I'm not special. Maybe I'm just hard-headed. I don't know what it is, but there was something in me. I was going to believe the Bible. In this scripture here, it says, verse 11, it says, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Friend, if you don't pursue those, it's going to be hard for you to receive anything from God. Do you know what pursue means? Go after, right? Seek it. And he said here, oh man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness. Pursue that right standing with God. Godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. And then he says, and fight. Fight the good fight of faith. He didn't say fight people. He didn't say fight the Democrats. He didn't say fight the Republicans. He didn't say fight the people of this color or that color. He said fight the good fight of faith. There is a fight to faith because the enemy wants to get you off of your faith and get you in unbelief. And we know you're in unbelief by what's coming out your mouth. What you say is what shows us what's in your heart. When I was a kid, hard to believe. Little skinny, what do you call a kid that's real blonde-headed?
Toe-head.
A towhead, yeah. I don't know what that, why I didn't think my head looked like a toe. And but I was this little skinny kid, just, you know, my mom had shaved my head about like it is now, and my ears stuck out like they do now, and you know, I wasn't pretty, and so we lived out in the desert. You know, anybody know where Barstow's at? Anybody know where Hinckley is? Hinckley is right outside of Barstow. Hinckley is where PG&E got in trouble for polluting the water, and a lot of the people ended up with cancer. And it was John's brother, for you that know Hafley, who started the whole thing and got the word out what was going on. But anyway, that's just a sideline. But anyway, we lived out in the desert. I mean, we didn't have electricity unless the generator was running. And we lived out, you know, we lived out in the boonies, and we had kerosene lamps. Anybody know what a kerosene lamp is? It has the neatest light. It puts off the neatest light. It's just very soft. But I remember my mom, she would go in there and we'd fill the lamps with oil, and it had this thing that come up, a wick, right? And that wick kind of looks like a tongue. Anybody seen one? The wick wicks the oil, right? Brings the oil up, and that wick will wick whatever in that lamp. Your heart is the lamp, and your tongue wicks up what's ever in you. If you're full of fear, you're going to talk fear. If you're full of pride, you're going to talk pride. If you're full of lust, you're going to talk lust. If you're full of racism, you'll talk racism. Whatever is in your heart in abundance is going to come out your mouth. I can be with you just a few minutes, and I can find out what's important to you. Because it's going to come out your mouth. And somebody says, well, I don't believe in confession. You don't have to believe in it. But it's true. And it's not about changing your confession. It's about changing your heart. Did you know the Bible says your tongue can't be tamed? And for some people, that means, well, I can just talk any way I want. No, what it's really saying is you need to change your heart so your tongue wicks out of your heart what's God. Because if my heart is full of fear, it's coming out. Even when I'm standing around people that are faithy, and when I'm around them, I say faithy stuff. But as soon as I get away from them, I speak my fears. Right? You ever been around people and you kind of try to say what you think they want to hear? We're with this group of, so we talk, you know, we get our Christianese out. We're at church. I found out a lot of Christians are chameleons. When they're at church, they're church people. When they're on the job, they're job people. When they're with their bros, they're bro people. But you know what? If you're a God people, you're just a God people. You're a God people on Monday just like you are Sunday. You don't change. You're still the same person. Now, don't misunderstand me. You may work in an environment. You're not going to go around, you know, just praise God, hallelujah. You're probably not going to do that, but you're still going to act like a Christian and be a Christian in that you have integrity, you're not cheating, you're treating people right, you're not cutting off work early, you're not taking an hour lunch when they gave you 30 minutes, you're doing the right thing, you're walking out your walk with God, and you're still positive. And when I say positive, you're still saying what God says. Well, oh, did you see the news today? Yeah, but I'm believing for good things in my life. Did you hear what's going on in the economy? Well, what I heard was that I'm blessed according to the riches of heaven. Now, don't misunderstand me. I want a good economy for everybody. I want even ugly people do well. I don't mean ugly in their face. I mean ugly in their... See, if you're kind of homely, you can't help but be homely. You were born that way. But you don't have to be ugly spiritually. Right? We are what? First time, anybody know who Marilyn Hickey is? Besides me? Marilyn Hickey, teacher, Bible, Marilyn Hickey, yeah. First time I saw her, when she went to get on TV, she was talking to a man about getting on TV, and the man told her she had a radio face. Think about that. Well, the first time I saw her on TV, I thought, that man's right. See, I say what you guys think. But as I watched her, I'd watch her. And the more I watched her and the more the words she gave me and the more the truth that I got, the prettier she looked. Because I found out that a good spirit and a good heart can make some of you think is very ordinary and really make them beautiful. Why? Because you see the glory of God. You see the goodness in them. And then I've seen some beautiful people just shrivel up on the vine. Gorgeous, and just next time you see them, they're just ugly because drugs and alcohol and mean, and it's like, no, we don't. We want to, the spirit of grace working in us, amen. And so I had to learn to. I was standing because I didn't want to be. I had three boys that I wanted to play basketball with. I had a wife that I wanted to be a husband to. I had things, and I wasn't with God's help and grace. I believe his word's going to come to pass, but I had to fight. It didn't just happen overnight. You know what? Satan wants to put pressure on you to get you to give up. No? He says, fight the good fight of faith. Now listen to this. Lay hold of eternal life. And the word eternal life there means the God kind of life. See, I'm already going, I mean, heaven's already mine. I don't need to worry about heaven. Well, you're saying you could never be lost? I'm saying I could never be lost. I don't know about you. I made up my mind. I'm in and I ain't trying to get out. I got one thing in mind. Serve the Lord. Amen. There is no plan B. There's just one plan. Be a better husband, Dennis. Be a better father. Be a better friend. Be a better pastor. Just work on yourself and let God work in you. And I keep believing my income's going to increase. My health's going to increase. My life's going to increase. Why? Because I'm connected to the source of all increase. But that don't mean it's not going to be, I got to be challenged. There's not going to be challenges. Amen. To which you were called. So I'm called to eternal life. Which you were called, and having confessed a good confession. Amen. In the presence of many witnesses. You ever been around somebody, every time you see them coming, you wish they wouldn't? You know when they show up, they're going to suck the life right out of the room. No? They're going to open their mouth and they're going to just suck the life right out of the room. You're in the store and they're over there and you duck behind the green beans to keep any... I don't want them to see. Well, Pastor, you shouldn't be like that. I know. But I don't want them sucking the life out of me. I just don't wonder. There are people like that. And then there's other people, you just go out of your way to see them. Hey, you know, you're chasing them down. You want to see them because when you get around them, they're going to encourage you. They're going to talk about the goodness of God. They're going to be a blessing to you. Those are the kind of people, a good confession among many witnesses. Amen. I want to be that person. Yeah, Brother Dennis, you know, he said it. Sometimes he just said it. But I want you to know, no matter what's going on in your life, God's got a plan for you. I don't care what the sin is in your life. Jesus is the answer. And I share this and too often, probably. But I say, I'm like the old timers. You know what? If your feet hurt, they gave you castor oil. If you had a tummy ache, they gave you castor oil. If the hair started falling off your head, they gave you castor oil. I'm like the old timer. I got one answer. His name is Jesus. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to your life. Amen? Yeah, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundant to the full until it overflows. Amen? And no matter where you're at, God, that's God's word. Amen? And so I'm fighting for the overflowing. When my health ain't just what I want it to be, I don't throw up my hands and say, well, I guess that's just that. I'm getting older now. You know what they say? We don't even know who the heck they are. We're believing they, and we don't even know who they are. And you ever notice one report comes out and says, if you eat this, it's bad for you. But the next week, this report comes out and says, if you eat this, it's bad. There's nothing left to eat. Everything's bad for you. No, just stick with the stuff God made. And He didn't make Fruit Loops. Man made them. Man made them. Now, you eat all the Fruit Loops you want, but when you eat something and it puts a film on the top of your mouth, you might want to rethink that. That's all. But my point is, if we just do things God's way, and you got to fight. It's not easy. I'm sorry. I wish I could tell you. It's not. And the world's not going to be for you. Some church people won't even be for you. Some family members won't be for you. You got to just fight the good fight of faith. Lay a hold on it and have a confession among many witnesses. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I can have what God says I can have. But you got to be willing to fight for that because you have an enemy who goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom what? That he may devour. Satan can't get me unless I give him permission. So I just want to encourage you this morning. When it gets tough, toughen up. You get tougher. You got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Just toughen up. I'm not going to tell you that because then you'd know what I watched. But sometimes you just got in your mind, not in reality. Sometimes you just need to spit in the devil's eye. And just tell him, you go to hell. I'm with God. And I'm staying with God. And Brother Hagin, I was listening to him one time, and I think it might have been Brother Copeland, but he put his Bible on the ground and stood on it, which I'd find a little disrespectful. But he made a statement. He says, if I go down, the world will have to go down under me. And that's how you got to look at life. If I go under, the world will have to go under with me because I'm standing. I'm staying on the word. Amen. So when you come across, when it gets challenging, don't think there's anything wrong. That's called normal. I don't like it, so don't take me wrong here, but it's still normal. You got to just bow up. Nope. You just got to bow up. Nope. I'm getting the promises. They're mine. Thank you, Jesus, they're mine. Amen? And so I just want you to know that sometimes the promises of God and the opportunities that God brings into your life, you're going to have to fight to get them. You ever notice anything worth having takes effort? Takes effort. So just want to encourage you. Hey, if you're up against it, don't. It's normal. You didn't do nothing wrong. Just relax and just bow up against it and say, no, the promises of God are mine. Heaven and earth can pass away, but God's word will come to pass. Amen. All right. If you're here this morning, you never asked Jesus into your life, we want to, of course, give you that opportunity. And you know what? Jesus is for that group of people that's just sick and tired of being sick and tired. When you really get tired of being sick and tired, He's the place to go. And you know what's neat? Is when you fight a good fight and you come out winning, you got something you didn't have before. Amen? It just makes it more precious, more special. Amen? And so, if you're here this morning, you never asked Jesus to come in your life, we want to give you that opportunity. But if you need prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you. But let's pray based on the Word. What does the Bible say? What does God's Word say? Amen. But we got to agree on the Word. Amen. If it's not on the Word, we don't have nothing to stand on. So we want to make sure we're agreeing on the Word. So if that's you, I want you to come right now.